1985年呢，是电脑界的一个翻天覆地的一年呢。
1985 is a revolutionary year when it comes to the computer industry.
因为呢，苹果的创始人呢 ，Steve Jobs 这一年呢，就给苹果的董事会赶出董事会。
Because this is the year when the founder Steve Jobs was expelled out of the executive committee.
把他赶出去的人呢，把 Steve Jobs 赶出去的人呢，其实就是他两年前呢，从这个百事 Pepsi Cola 请回来的 CEO。
The one who actually expelled him out of the board is actually someone Steve hired from PepsiCo 2 years ago.
那一般人呢遇到这样子的打击，你说你会怎么做？
And most people, if you come across this sort of upset event, what would you do?
我就会回家呢，痛哭一场。
I would go home and cried aloud for a bit.
那么就退休罢了。
And then just retire.
因为 Steve Jobs 手上有很多苹果的股份，其实他生活其实不需要忧虑。
Because Steve Jobs owned a lot of shares for Apple, his living expenses is not an issue.
但是呢 ，Steve Jobs 不是这样子的一个人。
But Steve Jobs is not that kind of person.
形容他呢是一个无惧任何东西的一个天才。He is a fearless genius.
Someone described him as a fearless genius.
所以呢，他下一步呢，就是开另外一个电脑的公司，叫 The Next Computer.
So the next step for him is to start a new computer company called The Next Computer Company.
这个就是他对苹果的一个反击。
This is a wave, almost like a strike back or revenge against Apple.
那 Steve Jobs 的故事呢，我看的时候，我觉得他这个跟神跟人的一个的故事有一点像。
The story of Steve Jobs is a bit similar to with the story between man and God.
当神创造这个天地万物的时候
，When God created heaven and earth and all things.
但是呢，撒旦进来把人引诱去犯罪。
And Satan came in and tempted a man to sin.
所以呢，撒旦把全个人类，包括这个世界，都抢到他的手里面。
So Satan would actually take the whole humankind and the whole world into his own hands.
圣洁的神不能再跟有罪的人在一起。
And the holy God cannot continue to be a sinful man.
但是呢，我们的神没有放弃啊。
But our God did not give up.
他早就有一个计划去把人救回来。
And he had already planned ahead to redeem man.
所以呢，他到时候到的时候，他就派他的儿子耶稣基督来到这个世界去反击。
And the time would come for him to send his son Jesus Christ as a way to strike back.
他要在地上建立他的天国。
He wanted to build his heavenly kingdom on earth.
你知道神可以人同住。
So that the God and man can abide together.
那我们呢，从去年年底呢，我们就开始看马太福音了。
And starting from the end of the last year, we started to study the book of Matthew.
那如果你看马太福音的时候，你看见呢，耶稣跟撒旦的关系从最开始呢，就是势不两立的。
And the originally start out the relationship between God and Satan is they cannot really be in the same place at the same time.
耶稣出生的时候，撒旦就希望藉着细律王的手把他杀死。
And when Jesus was born, Satan wanted to use the King Herod to kill him.
耶稣受洗以后呢，撒旦马上三次试探耶稣，希望他犯罪。
And after Jesus appeared Satan tempted three times, hoping that he would sin.
我们刚刚读的这段经文呢，四章的十二节里面告诉我们，连呢耶稣的先锋约翰呢，现在呢也给人拿去坐牢了。
And with the verses that we read earlier, it said that Jesus' herald, John the Baptist, was in prison.
所以呢，耶稣是面对一个很强大的对手。
So Jesus was facing a quite a formidable opponent.
那么他要怎么反击呢
？So how did he strike back?
我们今天看的这段经文呢，其实是耶稣的工作的开始。
And the scripture that we study today, is really the beginning of Jesus' work.
你从这段经文里面呢，你就可以看见呢，耶稣全个天国的计划的是怎么去安排的。
You see how Jesus arranged his whole heavenly kingdom, how he arranges.
你知道呢，他最后打败这个撒旦。
To the point that he would eventually defeat Satan.
我们呢是基督徒，是天国的子民的。
And the Christians are the people within the heavenly kingdom.
所以呢，我们是直接参与在这场战争里面。
So we directly participate in this war.
我们有需要去了解耶稣基督的计划。
We need to understand Jesus' plan.
所以呢，我就希望今天呢，来看看耶稣这个计划三个特点。
So let's take a look at the three special characteristics of Jesus' plan.
十三第四章十三十二节开始的时候呢，是使使约翰呢被人关在监牢里面。
In the Matthew 4:12, and they see that you see John had been put to the prison.
所以呢，耶稣知道这个就是他开始工作的时候了。
So Jesus know that this is the time for her to begin her work.
那么你说了，如果你是耶稣，你要开展你的工作，你的大本营要设立在什么地方
？So you, Jesus, you start out this work. Where do you actually start your main camp from?
那比方说 ，OK， 你是一个美国的大公司，你要去中国开你第一个总店，你要开哪里啊
？So if you're an American company, you want to start a branch in China. Where would you start your first place?
当然就是在他的首都上面呢。
And of course, it's one of the main capital.
所以呢，按理来说，耶稣应该选他的大本营呢，在耶路撒冷。
And by logic, Jesus should really start his main camp in Jerusalem.
因为呢，你最有钱，最有权势，有才能的人都在这个城市里面。
Because all the resources, including the money, the talent, all reside within the city.
还有我们知道了，耶路撒冷就是圣殿的所在。
And also, we all know that the Jerusalem is where the holy temple is.
所以呢，是以色列人敬拜神的一个中心。
So this is a place where the people worship God.
如果耶稣来的目的是要复兴神跟人之间的关系，耶路撒冷应该是他首选的一个地方。
So if Jesus were to come to reconcile the relationship between man and God, Jerusalem should be the place.
因为你最有可能就是在这个地方里面找到这些追求神的人。
So this is where you are most likely to find people who seek God.
但是呢，如果你看第十三节的时候呢，你就发现呢，耶稣其实是呢，他没有选耶路撒冷。
But if you look, take a look at verse 13, you see that Jesus did not pick Jerusalem.
他反而呢，十三节讲到呢，耶稣就离开这个拿撒勒，这个就是耶稣的家乡，往加百农去，就住在那里。
You see that in the verse it tells you that Jesus left Nazareth, which is his hometown, and went to live in Capernaum.
加百隆呢是在以色列的北边。
Capernaum is in the northern part of Israel.
对很多人来说呢，这个是一个没有什么文化的一个地点。
And for most people, this is not a place that has any kind of culture.
为什么耶稣会选拣子的一个地方成为他的大本营呢？
Why did Jesus select such a place to be his major camp?
因为呢，耶稣有一个很远大的眼光。
Because Jesus has a grand vision.
他知道呢，天国不是只是为了复兴以色列人。
And he knows that the kingdom of heaven is not just for the Israelites.
天国是给我们每一个人的。
And the heavenly kingdom is for everyone.
如果你看圣经的时候，你会留意得到呢，犹太人其实有一个很窄的一个天国的看法。
And if you take a look at the scripture, you see that the Jewish people have a very, very, very narrow view of the kingdom of heaven.
他觉得呢，天国就是为了他们的。
They see that the kingdom of heaven is only for them.
如果你要进天国呢，你必须要成为一个犹太人。
If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become a Jew.
但是呢，如果你看圣经的时候，你发觉这个其实不是神的计划。
But if you look at the scripture, that is not God's plan.
神跟亚伯拉罕立约的时候啊，他已经告诉他，地上万族要因你得福。
And when God established a covenant with Abraham, He already told them that the whole entire nation will be blessed through you.
救恩是先传给犹太人。
The gospel was first, the salvation is first given to the Israelites.
但是呢，神希望通过犹太人把这个有关神的认识传给全世界的人。
But God wished to, through the Jewish people, share the gospel through all to all people.
其实呢，这个事情早在呢旧约的以赛亚书里面呢，已经有预言了。
And because this is already foretold in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah.
以赛亚书预言呢，将来的弥赛亚，这个基督呢，这个救主，他来的时候，他工作的地方就是在外邦人的加利利。
And for this Messiah, for the where he works, would be the place where the Gentile is, the land of Galilee.
这个也是加百隆的这个地方，就是在这一带。
And the land of Capernaum is right around the area.
马太写到第四章的时候，他就说，耶稣选这个地方呢，是应验了以赛亚书的预言。
And the book, the Matthew stated that when the Jesus is to fulfill what did the prophecy.
加百隆这个地方呢，有一个特点呢。
There's a special characteristics for this land of Capernaum.
它就是在以色列一个主要的交通的要道上面。
And is this located in the one major thoroughfare point within all the major traffic?
虽然加百隆呢是以色列的一个城市。
Even though Capernaum is one of the Israelite cities.
但是因为很多外邦人呢，他要来以色列做生意，所以他最后的定居在加利利这一带。
Because a lot of people from far away need to conduct business in the area, so they end up settling in the Galilee area.
当时历史的记载呢，在加利利这一带呢，50%的人是外邦人来的。
History tells us that at that time, the people who were living in Galilee, over 50% is outside of Israel.
耶稣希望选这个地方去传福音，因为这样子，这个福音将来就可以传到更远的地方。
And Jesus selected this location to start the gospel because he wishes to this gospel would be spread far and away.
另外一个原因，为什么耶稣选择加百隆呢？
Another reason why Jesus selected Capernaum is
圣经形容呢，这些人呢是坐在黑暗里。
The scripture described that these people are sitting in darkness.
他们呢是坐在死人之地的人。
And they describe it in the land of the shadow of death.
黑暗在圣经里面很多时候是代表罪恶。
And the darkness a lot of times in the scripture represents sin.
坐在死刃的意思就是这些人呢很靠近死亡。
And the shadow of death is really to describe these people are very near death.
从耶稣选择加百农这个地方的时候呢，我们看见呢耶稣是有一个很远大的眼光。
When Jesus selected Capernaum, Jesus had a grand vision.
天国是给谁呢？
What is the heavenly kingdom for?
天国不单只是给我们自己人讲同一样话、同一个背景的人的。
Not only is the kingdom of heaven for those who speak the same language, same culture,
也给这些跟我们完全不一样的人。
But also for all the other people who are totally not like us.
不单指的是给这些已经对神有一定认识的人。
Not only is for those who already have a certain kind of knowledge about Jesus.
天国也是给这些犯罪的。
And the heavenly kingdom is also for those who sin.
拜假神的。
Worship false idol.
甚至敌对神的人。
And to the point also it's against God.
我来了美国呢已经三十年了，超过三十年了。
I've been in US for over 30 years.
在这三十年里面呢，其实有很大的一个转变了。
And within the last 30 years, there's been a great deal of changes.
就是呢，从香港来的人呢，越来越少。
And that is for those people from Hong Kong is gradually diminishing in number.
所以呢，我觉得在美国传福音呢，其实对我来说呢是很困难。
So for me to spread the gospel in the U.S. is rather difficult.
因为我觉得传福音的机会不多啊。
And you see, there aren't too many opportunities to share the gospel.
但是后来神让我明白一点。
But the, God wanted me to understand this.
其实不是传福音的机会小了。
It's not about the opportunity to share the gospel is diminishing.
是因为我的眼光太小了。
But it's because my vision is too narrow.
我只注意的这些从香港来讲广东话的跟我背景一样的人去传福音。
I only share the gospel with those who are from Hong Kong, the same language, same background.
我没有把这些讲普通话了或者讲英文呢跟我文化跟我背景不一样的考虑也把福音传给他们。
I did not consider those who are speaking English and speak Mandarin to actually share the gospel with them.
所以后来有一年。
So therefore, one year,
我们就想，我们就去接待一些从中国大陆来的大学生。
So we would try to welcome and receive those some students from mainland China.
很多人问我，我的普通话是什么时候学的？其实就是在当时的时候开始的。
Some people ask me how I learned my Mandarin. That's the time when I learned them.
后来呢，我又想，如果我们能够接待这些从中国大陆来的学生，我们也可以接待这些从印度来啊，最后我们接待这些从印度来啊，土耳其啊，还有其他地方来的，我们也跟他们传福音。
So if we can receive those who are from mainland China, we can receive those from India, Turkey, and also share the gospel with them.
我们传福音呢，需要一个很远大的眼光。
And they, when we share the gospel, we need to have a far-fetched vision.
如果你传福音的时候，你都会经历过，就是很多人其实对福音呢不会马上有反应的。
If you should have shared the gospel before, you probably have experienced that most people would not have immediate reaction to the gospel.
如果你只传福音给你的家人或者你所认识的这些朋友，很快。这些人如果没有反应的时候，你很快就会灰心了。
And you should share the gospel with your immediate family and your friend. If they don't respond to your gospel, before long, they don't have much reaction.
但是呢，如果你把握机会，像把福音传给你旁边的人，不同背景的人的时候。
But if you hold on to the opportunity to share the gospel to those who are around you who may have a different background,
过了一段 可能是很长的时间你会见到这个果效。
And through a certain period of time, perhaps it could be long, you can see the effects and results.
好像我们去年呢，哈，去年的时候呢，突然间收到一个，从前认识的一个学生的一个 email。
Last year we received an email from someone whom we know for a long time.
他说呢，我现在在南非，最近呢在教会里面接受水礼。
And it tells me that I'm in South Africa, and recently I received a water baptism in church.
当时跟他传福音的时候，他没有信主啊，他离开去了很多不同的地方，最后他在去年的时候才信耶稣。
When we shared the gospel with him, he did not receive the Lord, and but through many years, and he finally become a Christian.
有些人虽然他没有到现在还没信耶稣，但是他不会忘记你在主里面对他的爱。
A lot of people may not become a Christian, but they will not forget the love that you show in the Lord Jesus Christ.
也是去年呢，在团契的时间，突然间我的手机在响了。
And last year, when we were in the fellowship meeting, and all of a sudden my cell phone started buzzing.
那么呢，又是从前一个学生我们接待过的。
It's another student whom we had received earlier.
他说，他问我一条问题，你还记得十年前的今天吗？
And he asked me one question, do you remember 10 years ago today?
我连上个礼拜今天是什么我都不记得。
I don't even recall last week what it was like.
他说十年前的今天就是你们去机场接我们的这一天，今天是十年周年了。
10 years ago is when you went to the airport and picked me up. Today is the 10-year anniversary.
所以他打电话来问候我。
So he called me to greet me.
很多简子的故事，其实当你常常去传福音的时候，你会慢慢见到这个结果。
And all these stories, if you continue to share the gospel, you'll see results.
所以呢，无论你是对你的家人、你的朋友、你的邻居、同事去传福音，我们要有一个远大的一个眼光。
And when you share the gospel with your family, with your friends, with your colleague, we need to have a grand vision.
我常常想到一件事情。
Quite often I'm reminded of this.
你知道当耶稣在地上的时候，连他的兄弟都不相信他。
When Jesus was on earth, even his own brothers would not believe him.
要到他死里复活里之后，他才有一些兄弟是相信他。
It wasn't until that we resurrected from the death that some of his brothers believed him.
天国能够传到地极，
The heavenly kingdom can be shared to the ends of the earth.
是需要我们有一个很远大的眼光。
And we need quite a grand vision.
我们不能够很容易的去放弃。
We cannot give up that easily.
也不能呢，你得到这个福音以后，那么你就自己快乐，不跟人家分享。
And also, if you have received the gospel, you cannot just rejoice and not to share with others.
当耶稣呢设立了他的大本营以后呢，他下一步就是要建立他的团队。
Once Jesus has established his major camp, he need to assemble the army.
那有一些人呢，他不明白为什么这个掌管历史的上帝还要找人帮他忙呢？
And some people don't understand why would this God who control history need someone to help them.
神的拣选不是就足够另一个人相信他的吗？
And God's selection isn't it enough for someone to believe him.
其实呢，这样子的想法呢，曾经在十八世纪的时候呢，是很流行在教会里面的。
And actually, this kind of thinking is very popular within the church in the 18th century.
在当时呢，有一个年轻人叫 William Carey.
At that time, there was a young man whose name is William Carey.
他读圣经的时候，他明白我们要把这个福音传到地极。
And when he read the gospel, Bible, he understand that we need to share the gospel to the ends of the earth.
那么他就告诉教会里面的弟兄姊妹。
So he shared that with the brothers and sisters in the church.
当时呢，有一个牧师，他站起来，他说。
And there was a pastor who stood up and said.
他说：“年轻人，你坐下来。当神要带领这些异教徒去信主的时候，神的工作不用你，不用我的帮忙。”
He said, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, He will do it without your aid and mine."
那这个 William Carey 没有听这个牧师的意见呢。
But this William Carey did not listen to the opinion of this pastor.
因为他觉得这个意见不合乎圣经。
Because he thought that he considered that this kind of thinking is not biblical.
我们看到连耶稣也拣选他的门徒去帮助他工作。
We see even Jesus selected his disciples to help him.
所以William Carey 最后呢，他就是去了印度去传福音。
So William Carey eventually went to India to share the gospel.
因为他剪纸做的时候呢，就服侍了教会宣教的这个工作。
Because of what he did, he resurrected the whole missionary work within the church.
所以呢，我们现在呢叫 William Carey 呢，就是宣教之父。
So we call now today call William Carey the father of missionaries.
那么我们现在就要来说了，自然呢，神是希望他的儿女参与传福音的工作的时候，那么他要怎么人，怎么样的人在他的团队里面呢？
So you see that God would call these people to share the gospel. What kind of people would He want in His army?
最近呢，我们今年是美国大选嘛。
And to, this year, you all know that the U.S. in the U.S. is election year.
如果你去做候选人的时候，你找哪什么人去帮忙你啊？
If you're a candidate, what kind of people would you ask to be on your team?
当然是找这些有钱人呢，比方说银行家，他可以捐钱给你啊。
Of course, you look for these people who are rich, for example, bankers who can help you to donate money to your.
或者呢，是这些有才干的，有有影响力的人。
Or those who have talent or who have influencing power.
但是呢，耶稣他开始的时候呢，他去找他第一批门徒的时候。
And when Jesus first assembled his first group of disciples,
是四个渔夫
four fishermen.
那不是耶稣呢？不希望有影响力、有才干、有钱的人在他的团队里面。
It's not like Jesus does not want people who have money or talents to be on his team.
是这些上面我们刚刚所讲的这些人。他有很可能呢是找不到耶稣他觉得最重要的一个特点。
Perhaps they would not consider they finding Jesus as the most important.
没有，就是呢，这些有钱的人呢，没有耶稣所要的这个特点。
Because these so those rich people do not have the kind of characteristics that Jesus wanted.
那么耶稣要怎么样的门徒呢？
So what kind of disciples does Jesus want?
那你看呢，十八节里面的耶稣，怎么呼召门徒的时候，你就见到他要求这是什么。
So if you look at verse 18, you see how Jesus called these disciples, then you know what kind of disciples Jesus wanted.
十八节讲到了耶稣经过这个加利利海边的时候呢，见到彼得跟他的兄弟安德烈。
So when Jesus was walking along there, he saw two brothers, Peter and his brother Andrew.
那么他就叫他来跟从我，我要叫你们的人与的的鱼一样。
So he told them, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people."
二十一节里面呢，讲到他又在往前走的时候，又见到两个兄弟。
And the verse 21 it says, going from there, he saw two other brothers.
同样呢，耶稣有又呼召他们。
So Jesus again called them.
那四个人的他们的反应都是一样。
So all four people they reacted the same way.
他们就是立刻放下他们的工作，马上跟随耶稣。
So immediately left their job and actually follow Jesus.
这个就是耶稣所追求的特点。
This is the kind of characteristics that Jesus was looking for.
这些人愿意专一地去跟随耶稣。
And these people are willing to dedicate themselves to follow Jesus.
这些人呢，他没有问耶稣。
Today, these four people, they did not ask Jesus.
就是我跟随你，我有什么福利的？
And what kind of benefit can I get if I follow you?
有饭供应吗？
Are you supplying my meals?
有没有地方住的？
Do we have a place to stay?
我多久可以回家放假一次啊？
How often can I go home and visit my family?
圣经形容了这样子的跟随耶稣的人呢，是一个舍己的一个跟随。
And the scripture describes these people who follow Jesus as actually sacrificing themselves.
那你不要以为呢，只有这十二个门徒是这样子。
And don't think that just the 12 disciples are like that.
所有基督徒，耶稣都要求我们有同一个态度。
And all the Christians, in a way, Jesus asked to have that kind of attitude.
耶稣说，手扶着犁，向后看的，不配进神的国。
And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God.
有的时候我们看福音书的时候，我们觉得，哎，这四个人跟随耶稣，因为他们是一群呢。 没有工作的，游手好闲的一批人。
And some people, when we read this scripture, we thought these four people are just kind of wandering around. They are jobless. They have nothing else better to do.
但是如果你看圣经的时候，其实他们都在忙。
But if you look at the scripture, they were quite busy at the time.
18节讲到了彼得跟安德烈的时候，他正在撒网。
And the verse 18 it tells you that on verse 18 they were Peter and Andrew was casting a net into the lake.
换句话说，他们正在上班。
In other words, they were working.
雅各跟约翰呢也是在捕网。
And then the other two John and also his brother James are also mending the net.
换句话说，他们是准备马上要出海打鱼了。
In other words, they're preparing go into the lake and can fish.
他们都是在忙碌的生活。They
were just busy with their lives.
我们很容易想呢，就是我现在没有时间去侍奉神或者去信耶稣，等我退休的时候呢，我就会信了。
And then you might think that I'm so busy, don't believe Jesus Christ. Well, after I retired, I will do that.
我只能告诉你一件事情。
There's only one thing I can tell you.
圣经里面所有的故事，神所呼召的人，他们都在忙碌的工作。
And within throughout the Bible, those people whom God called, they were all busy at the time.
问题是你愿不愿意把你手上
The question is whether or not you're willing to put down what you have in your hand and actually follow Jesus.
另外一个对门徒的看法就是，其实他们是一群呢一无所有的人。Another
viewpoint is actually these people are people who have really nothing.
所以你叫他跟随耶稣当然是容易啊。So
if you have them follow Jesus, of course it's easy.
但是其实他们不是一无所有。But
actually they are not. Actually, without any possessions.
在加利利打鱼的人呢，是一个很稳定的一个生活。
Those who are fishing in Galilee is actually a very steady job.
我们说呢，这个是一个小康之家。 就是你可以说他是一个 middle class 了，是中产的。Okay,
you can just consider them as a middle class people.
那如果你看马可福音的时候呢，他不单只是有一份工作。 这个约翰他的家里面呢，他是有自己的船，他的爸爸还有雇工在他手下的。So
if you look at the book of Mark, John actually had the his father in the boat, and also they also have hired men.
所以呢，他们不是一无所有。So
it's not like they own nothing.
反而呢，很多方面跟我们现在是很像。
On the other hand, actually, it's quite similar to us at this time.
虽然他们不是财主,
even though they are not very wealthy rich men,
他们是有一定的财产,
they definitely have certain amount of possession.
问题是，当神呼召你的时候，你愿不愿意放下你所拥有的，包括你的家人，去跟随耶稣呢？
The question is whether when Jesus called you, whether or not you are willing to set aside your possession and your family and follow Jesus.
最后呢，有人说，哎，这四个人一定是一时冲动。
And you might say that all these people, they are just very impulsive.
那其实呢，如果你看其他的福音书的时候，耶稣不是第一次跟这些人见面的。
So if you look at the other Gospels, this is not the first time that Jesus met with them.
约翰福音告诉我们呢，安德烈本来就是四使约翰的门徒。
And it tells you that in the other gospel that Andrew is actually the followers or the part or the disciples of John the Baptist.
四使约翰告诉他的门徒啊，他说，这个耶稣就是神的羔羊。
And the John the Baptist told his disciple, "This Jesus is the Lamb of God."
所以在当时的时候，安德烈已经带他的哥哥彼得呢去跟随耶稣，去看看耶稣是怎么样的。
So at that time, Andrew already brought his brother Peter to actually see what Jesus is like.
路加福音告诉我们呢，只是呢，当耶稣在这一次呼召四个门徒之前呢，他是做了一个神迹的。
And the book of Luke told us that before he called these disciples, he had already conducted a miracle.
当时呢，这些人呢，他打鱼一点都打不到。
At that time, these people could not find any catch any fish.
但是耶稣告诉他，你们去水深之处去打鱼，你就会打到了。
And Jesus told them to go in the deep side part of the lake to fish, and you'll catch them.
结果真的，他们打了一网的很多的鱼。
And indeed, they caught a big, huge catch net of fish.
彼得是从这件事情见到他自己是一个罪人。
And Peter, through this event, recognized he's a sinner.
所以最后，当耶稣他呼召他们的时候，他们就马上跟随他耶稣。
So when Jesus called them to follow him, they just went to follow Jesus.
其实耶稣不希望人呢是一时冲动的去跟随他。
So actually Jesus does not want someone to be impulsive and just follow him.
他希望我们呢考虑清楚。
He wanted to consider carefully.
因为如果你是一时冲动，你的跟随不会是一个持久的跟随。
Because if you do this impulsively, your following would not last long.
这四个人是有人解释过给他们听耶稣的身份。
And these four people have been explained to him who Jesus is.
他们是经历过神耶稣的大能。
They have experienced the power of Jesus.
所以最后是耶稣呼召他们，他们考虑了，但是他们觉得我们要立时的跟随耶稣。
So when Jesus called them, they had considered, but they wanted to decide at that time to follow Jesus.
我们希望呢，我们都还好像门徒一样，专一的跟随他，跟随耶稣。
We also hope that we would be like these disciples, actually dedicated ourselves to follow him.
最后一段呢，就是我们看看耶稣呢，他发展这个天国的计划。的方法是什么？
And then also looking to look at how Jesus expand the kingdom of heaven.
那第四章的23节里面呢，他就讲到耶稣走遍加利利，在各会堂里教训人传天国的福音，医治百姓各样的病症。
So the verse 23 tells us Jesus went through Galilee teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people.
这一节圣经呢，差不多是同一样的，出现在第九章35节里面。
And the same verses is the same that actually appears in Matthew 9:35.
我们说呢，这个是一个写作的技巧。
And we might call it a skill of writing.
这是告诉你从四章二十三节到九章三十五节的是一段。
So in a way to tell you that from the chapter 4 to chapter 9 is one section.
事实上呢，从第四章后半章到九章里面，就是解释了，给你不同的例子，是耶稣是怎么教训人，怎么去医治人的。
In a way, the end of chapter 4 to the chapter 9 is how Jesus explained how he teach people and also heal them.
所以耶稣呢，他发展这个天国的计划呢，就是通过他的教训，通过他的传扬，还有他的医治。
And for Jesus to expand his kingdom, it's through to sharing his method and also healing the people and so on.
所以你看呢，第五章到第七章就是耶稣的教训。
So you see in chapter 5 through 7 is Jesus' teaching.
从第八到第九章呢，就是耶稣的神迹，还有他的医治。
So 8 to 9 is actually talking about God's Jesus miracle and how he's healing.
二十四节里面呢，讲到了耶稣这个工作的果效。
And verse 24 talks about the result of Jesus' work.
讲到了耶稣的名声呢，传遍这个叙利亚。
And to show that Jesus' news spread through the entire area.
在这一区的人呢，把所有的病人，一切的病人呢，带到耶稣面前，耶稣都把他们医好。
So all these people in this area, they brought all the people who are sick with various illnesses, and Jesus healed them all.
结果呢，圣经说呢，有很多人呢跟着耶稣。
So the Bible tells us that a lot of people follow Jesus.
那我读到这里的时候，我问我自己一个问题。
When I read to this point, I asked myself a question.
耶稣单单凭他的医治就有吸引这么多人。
And Jesus through his healing, they would attract so many people.
为什么他还要花时间再教导人去传扬这个福音呢？
So why does he even need to teach others to spread the gospel?
同样，你可以问同一样的问题。
In the same way, you can ask another question.
为什么教会的聚会要有崇拜，又有主日学，又有查经？我们每一天开这些医治大会，不是也可以的吗
？So why we need to have worship and Sunday school and Bible study? If we actually have a healing event, wouldn't that be good enough?
其实耶稣明白这一点。
Actually, Jesus understands this.
神迹跟医治呢，只能叫人跟着耶稣。
Miracles and healing can only teach people to follow him.
不能呢使这些人成为他的跟随者。
It cannot turn these people into his followers.
如果你继续看福音书的时候，
If you continue to read the Gospels,
你发觉了这些经历过耶稣医治、经历过耶稣的神迹的人，最后是。也是他们放弃耶稣。
You see that those who receive God's healing and His blessings eventually abandon Him.
同一批人欢迎耶稣进耶路撒冷。
The same group of people welcome Jesus into Jerusalem.
一个礼拜后，同一批人说，把他钉在十字架上。
And a week later, the same group of people say, "Crucify him on the cross."
为什么神迹跟医治没有改变一个人呢
？Why is that the healing and miracles cannot change a person？
原因其实我觉得，如果你的信仰是根据这些东西的时候，你跟一个拜假神的人呢，分别的其实不大。
If your faith is based on this, you're no different from someone who worships false idols.
拜假神的人的心态是，这个神灵了，我去拜他。
The thinking for someone like that is, oh, this God works, I'm going to follow him.
但是如果这个神呢，做一些事情不合我的心意的时候，我可以把他丢掉，我拜另外一个。
If this God does something that I don't like, I'm actually abandon this one and go after another one.
圣经告诉我，什么能够改变人的心呢？
And scripture tells us, how can that we change someone's heart?
是什么可以让人产生一个信心去信耶稣呢？
And how does we someone to create a faith to follow him?
罗马书十章十七节讲，告诉我们，可见信道是从听道而来，听道是从基督的话来。
And Romans 17 tells us that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message heard through the word about Christ.
只有通过明白圣经。
It's only when we thoroughly understand the Bible,
你才会产生真正的信心。
That you would have true faith.
只有这样子的信心，才会让你专一的跟随耶稣。
It's only this kind of true faith will allow you to truly follow Jesus Christ.
耶稣来到这个世界的时候，作为我们的榜样。
And Jesus came to this earth to become our example.
他告诉我们，我们传福音要有一个远大的眼光。
And he told us when we share the gospel, we have to have a grand vision.
因为这个福音本来就是给所有的人的。
Because this gospel originally is designed for all people.
所以不要单把这个福音传给这些跟你讲同一样话、跟你一样背景的人。
So don't just share the gospel with someone who has the same language as you and have the same background.
我们也要把这个福音传给我们旁边很多跟我们不一样的人。
We need to share the gospel to those around us who are not quite like us.
第二样事情，耶稣要求他的团队、他的门徒专一地跟随他。
And the second thing is, Jesus wanted his army, his disciples to dedicate themselves and follow him.
不要只是好像那些群众一样，就是跟着耶稣来看看他是怎么样。
Not like the crowd, just come and just check out who Jesus is like.
耶稣希望我们舍己去跟随他。
And Jesus wanted us to sacrifice ourselves to follow him.
但是唯一能够产生这样子的跟随的，就是通过神的话。
And the only way to have that effect is through God's words.
通过耶稣的教导，他的传扬的时候，我们就能够产生这个信心。
And through God's Jesus' teaching, and when share the gospel, that would actually create that kind of faith.
我们最后一同祷告。
Let's bow our head and pray.
亲爱的主耶稣
，Dear Jesus，
我们希望我们都好像这四个门徒一样。
We'll want to be just like these four disciples，
就是他们立刻的跟随耶稣。
That is they follow Jesus immediately。
我们最后看到这些门徒，他们是选择正确的。
And we see that these four disciples follow the truth。
耶稣真的把这个天国带到地上。
And Jesus indeed brought the kingdom of heaven onto this earth.
打败撒旦。
And defeat Satan.
把人救回来。
And save all mankind.
我们希望我们每一个人都能够预备好自己进神的天国。
And may we all prepare ourselves so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
Listen to our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.